Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, January 27th, 2015. And with me today, I have my rambunctious crew. Kelly Gumont, how are you?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And Brian Chaffin, I hope you are well.
I'm fine.
Good enough for me.
Okay. I'm rambunctious.
Yes, I can hear it in your voice. I can barely contain myself in my chair. Anyhow, like I said, good enough for me. It's great to have both you guys here. Real quick, before we jump into the topics, we just have to note that today is the day Apple first announced the iPad. How many years ago?
Five. So I have to say, though, we need to sing a quick birthday song to it, and there's one that is completely free that anyone can use. So thank you, Richard Cheese, for giving the world a better birthday song. It's iPad's birthday. What a great day. Everyone say happy birthday. Yay.
Yeah.
That was
Yay.
Awesome. You know what I
Brian's
love about—
Brian's excited.
What I love about Brian is that he's always the life of the party. Always.
Yeah, I'm known for my lifeness of the partiness.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, first topic that I want to hit today is this whole thing with Samsung getting in on the digital mobile wallet wireless payment thing. You know, like Google has Google Wallet. Apple has Apple Pay, which is the platform that really kind of breathed life into the mobile payment world. Samsung is getting in on that now too. At the beginning of March, they will be at Mobile World Congress, which is the big mobile device conference. It's in Barcelona, and they're going to announce their entrance into this market, and it's going to be called Samsung Pay.
Okay, so I'm a little confused here, Jeff. What you're telling me is that Samsung is trying to do something that Apple has already done successfully?
I know it's a stretch.
That seems so weird.
Well, you know what? It's better than Apple trying to do something that Apple has not yet done successfully, because Apple or Samsung's track record at doing that is very, very, very poor.
This is true.
That's true. We have Samsung Galaxy Gear to show for that.
Yeah, that was definitely specifically what I was thinking about. The one thing Samsung has done better than Apple before Apple was doing it, as a matter of fact, long before Apple was doing it, was, of course, the large screen devices. But that was, you know, the one strand of spaghetti that actually stuck against the wall.
The judges would also have accepted taking people to court.
All right.
So the thing that I'm sort of curious about with this folds nicely into what we discussed yesterday with Authentec, and that is how Samsung is going to handle the security end of this sort of transaction. You know, the nice thing, we've talked about Touch ID. I wrote a piece that breaks down exactly how Touch ID works, which explains that even if someone does snoop on the transaction, the number they get, they can't actually use for anything. Your credit card number is not stored on your phone. Even if somebody were able to get into your phone with Touch ID or with a passcode, they're still not going to be able to get that information and be able to use it, you know, copy down the credit card number out of passbook and go use it someplace else. So I want to know what I'm mostly curious about, how Samsung is going to handle the security piece of this so that my credit card number doesn't get stolen off my phone.
Well, okay, so we don't know if they're going to include a Batcave enclave thing in enclave chip in this whole system. Mm-hmm. But we do know that they're going to have a fingerprint scanner button on the Galaxy S6 smartphone.
Okay.
So they will have a Touch ID authentication system. And when I say Touch ID, I'm doing air quotes because Touch ID is only an Apple thing.
Right.
But that's basically what they're going to do.
Okay.
As far as how your credit card number will be protected or encrypted, that
we know nothing.
Yeah, we know nothing. We do know that they will be teaming up with McAfee
Okay.
For some antivirus and other security-related protections. But I believe that's just a phone-wide feature as opposed to anything directly related to Samsung Pay.
Okay, let's just cut to the chase, please. Samsung is delusional. Samsung Pay is going to be an LOL Samsung thing. I mean, this is so freaking ridiculous that I don't even. I mean, treating it seriously is very difficult.
You know, Visa seems to be taking it seriously on some level because Samsung is partnering with them for some of the promotional stuff related to
because Samsung Visa was largely snubbed by Apple. You know, all the Apple Pay stuff so far has been with MasterCard. I mean, Visa's got to do something with someone. But here's the thing. Samsung sells a lot of smartphones, although its market share has been plummeting. But most of those devices are cheap, low-end devices. Mm-hmm. They're not the kinds of devices that – I mean, the Samsung Pay is going to work with a subset of Samsung devices. And any particular subset of Samsung devices – is a tiny fraction of Apple's iPhone ecosystem. Even when Apple Pay is limited to, what are we going back to currently? So it's iPhone 6 out of the box and back to iPhone 5 with mm-hmm. an Apple Watch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a subset for sure. Mm-hmm. But understand that the Apple sold, you know, we're expecting the earnings report is later today and we're expecting some 69 million iPhones in the December quarter alone since iPhone 6 was announced. No one cares about Samsung. Samsung doesn't have a platform. They've got these delusions of relevance. They've got delusions of software relevance. They have delusions of platform relevance. They so want to be Apple. They can't be Apple. They're not Apple. And this is going to be a joke.
Well, it's a joke even before it's officially launched because regardless of how well it does or does not perform, they've named it Samsung Pay. And it just totally fits in with the running joke of whatever Apple does, Samsung's going to copy and copy poorly.
Yeah.
And here they are. All they did was they changed out Apple for Samsung and called it Samsung Pay.
Yeah, it you know, would have been a little bit less embarrassing, in my opinion, if they called it Samsung Wallet and, you know, copied Google Wallet instead of Apple Pay, but whatever.
Well, and I suggested that if they didn't want to go with Samsung Wallet, which is something that I mentioned in my article, they could have gone with Samsung Purse because that would be a little different also.
Yeah, you know, tomato ragu.
Also true.
Yeah. All right, so...
Well, if it was going to be, I mean, I would have gone with Galaxy Wallet since that's just me. So.
Yeah, they could have gone with Galaxy Wallet also.
Well, but that's just a reminder that it doesn't work with most devices.
I mean, that's true.
And Samsung Pay isn't?
Well, that's not Samsung a direct reminder. At least implies that it's going to address more of their product line.
So the thing to me about it is you can point out that the watch was available, that once the Apple Watch is available, that only a subset of Apple's phones will work with that, and that is true. But that subset happens to be every model of phone that Apple has sold for 2 years and change, you know, 2 years as of September or whatever. So
that's Apple's entire iPhone line.
Yeah, that's all of them.
For 2 years.
Yeah. So right. Even when you talk about... You know, even if Samsung says it's compatible with the Galaxy S6, that is a fraction of the Samsung line, which is the Galaxy line. It is a fraction of the Galaxy line, and it is only a fraction. It has only been available for a short period of time. So any way you slice it, you end up taking, like, significant pieces off every time you continue to qualify it. So no matter what Samsung does to make it compatible, it's still not going to be compatible in the number of units sold, like Apple Pay is.
You know, this just highlights the importance of controlling the software. You know, Apple has this whole widget model. Apple is controls the hardware and the software, and that makes Apple unique in the computer world at this point. But when it comes to services, you don't have a prayer of making that service be a thing unless you're controlling the software side of it. I mean, Google Wallet mm-hmm. is a thing. Google Wallet's been a thing. Mm-hmm. Ironically, it looks like it's taking the release of Apple Pay to make Google Wallet a success. Oh, I have a train. Sorry about that. But it's taking Apple Pay to make Google Wallet a success. But Google Wallet is being a success. It is being mm-hmm. a thing. Mm-hmm. And how Samsung thinks that it's going to make Samsung Pay, LOL, a thing when they're competing with a much broader ecosystem of Google Wallet and, you know, everything that Google's doing. Again, it's a joke at best.
I agree. And my expectation is that we will see Apple Pay continue to grow. We will see Google Wallet continue to grow. And then Samsung Pay will come out and it will just be this essentially stagnant mobile payment system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. Much. No one's. I mean, to play devil's advocate, it's going to work alongside the existing solutions.
Okay.
So
sure. Yeah, it's going to be another NFC payment system.
Yeah.
So you still can't buy stuff at CVS.
Right.
Yeah, for now. Yeah. Yeah, right. I don't know, man. I would be surprised if a large number of retailers come on board for this. Because it probably depends on how hard Visa wants to push it.
Sure. Yeah, my guess is that what little success it will have, because I really don't expect this to take off, will be through whatever partner deals Samsung does with Visa, and then at merchants that are already accepting NFC payment systems, and so it just happens to work by chance, not by design. And so you'll be able to use it, but it's not going to be Apple Pay, and it's not going to be Google Wallet. And speaking of Google, that leads right into the second topic I wanted to hit today. And this comes out of a piece that you wrote yesterday, Kelly, where mm-hmm. Google said that the Dropcam Echo is no longer going to be supported through the Dropcam system. Mm-hmm. So they're just going to give all those people new cameras.
Yeah, which is sort of good news, bad news. The original Dropcam model and the Dropcam Echo were released between like 2009 and 2011. So a lot of people who bought them at the time and slapped them up and set them up and have been paying $10 a month for the cloud service for them all this time. That's important later. Foreshadowing. The service is going to go dark on April 15th, which will turn those cameras into paperweights. Because if they can't get to the cloud service, they can't record and then they can't send it to your phone. And so the point of the camera is moot at that point. So because Dropcam is owned by Nest, who is owned by Google, they can afford to have people fill out a form and a new Dropcam HD, which will work with all of these services, will show up in the mail. Which sounds awesome. And it seems like a great thing, except that this is another case where it's not a very good situation when your hardware is reliant on someone else's software. So this goes right back to what we were talking about with Samsung and Apple, where, you know, Apple controls both pieces of it. And particularly when you pair this with the fact that those servers are now technically Google's servers that your cameras are phoning home to, there are probably people who may not be interested in upgrading to the Dropcam HD and want to do something else, which is completely a valid argument, in my opinion.
Well, for these cameras, there's a – you're touching on an interesting philosophical I'm not going to sort of call it a debate, but philosophical differentiating points between the various providers that are out there, because you've got Dropcam, who's the king daddy of the market right now, and they're server based. So the camera, if it's going to record anything, it's going to record it in the cloud, and it's streaming from the cloud, right? Streaming from the camera to the cloud, so that you can then stream it to your device,
mobile, yeah.
ArcSoft is doing something similar with SimpliCam, and we should note that ArcSoft is a sponsor of Timo.
Okay.
Just for, you know, full disclosure sake, which is partly why I know as much about them as I do, but they're doing something similar. They've got a similar service. They're doing facial, they're doing a couple of features. They're definitely doing some things, I think, a little bit better than Dropcam. And
Who's the other company that's doing a similar Netatmo. Camera now? Netatmo, that's right.
Yeah, I'm getting to them. But they've got the same issue. The service is going to the cloud, and that allows you to basically stream it anywhere. Okay. And no one can grab your recording. And that's so Dropcam and SimpliCam are both doing something similar there. And then you've got the local side, which is Netatmo. Mm-hmm. And their device that isn't shipping yet, but they're recording everything locally. And so you have full control over it. Your camera is always going to work, but at the same time, the bad guy can just walk off with the camera.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, walk off with the
card or whatever.
With the memory card that holds the incriminating evidence of them being in your home. Right. So, I mean, it's there are these two very disparate approaches to the market, and they both have their advantages. But as you're pointing out, Kelly, a new disadvantage is to realize that someone else is kind of in charge of how long your hardware is good for.
Yeah, and I'm sort of uncomfortable with your upgrade timeline may not be under your control.
Well, we have that with Apple also.
Well, only sort of, because I can still use an iPhone 4 that's running iOS 6 if I want to.
All right,
I can't get new versions of apps, but if all I'm doing is checking mail and making calls,
it still works.
It's legit. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So there is that, but you know, and I know that like if my hard drive fails tomorrow, I'm going to have to buy a new one, but that's not what I'm talking about. Like if I turn off the internet connection on my laptop still functions. And contrary to popular belief, without Facebook, I will still function. It'll be okay. Without Twitter, I'd survive. It'd be rough, but I grew up in the wilderness. I can take it. So I think there's something to this. And the reason that I want to talk about it and bring it up partly has to do with resident conspiracy theory fan Dave Hamilton, who pointed out that part of why this could be happening is because perhaps Google wasn't able to mine enough data from the older cams, and the new ones have better information that Google can sell to people, which is how Google makes all the money to give everybody a free drop cam. So there's that. But also, I don't always know if people understand the implications of doing something like this. Part of what we had trouble with when we were doing home automation and security stuff when we moved into our house a couple of years ago was doing things without a landline, which is sort of, you know, everything still, so many things are predicated on, well, you know, you have a landline, so you just do this through the landline. Well, no, actually I don't. Okay, now it's going to be nigh impossible. You know, before maybe it was a little hard, but now like you basically can't. So we had to find a lot of ways around things to be able to do stuff like this. And so, you know, it never really occurred to us like, yeah, I'm going to pay someone else to have all of my stuff. You know, because if I was going to pay people to monitor everything for me, you know, and not allow me to do it myself directly between me and my house, then, you know, I'd have just left the landline alone and paid ADT or whoever for security and stuff and called it good. And that's not the route we went. So I just hope people are aware and understand that sometimes, you know, if you do sign up for something like this where the functionality of your device is entirely reliant on someone else, that there's some sort of service level agreement, or, you know, read the terms really closely to find out what's going to happen if suddenly the service goes dark. regular folks are people who are trying to buy this stuff and get into this kind of thing. And they're not all used to services being abandoned the way the people on the front edge are. You know, we're all sort of pioneers. True. And so we're used to, oh, I had all my stuff here and now it's going to go dark. I better export it and then, you know, export the XML and then import raw XML into some other thing that I prefer and whatever. And like, you know, we are sort of used to that and people aren't. And this is going to start to become more and more of an issue as people spend more and more time and more money and more effort on stuff that ends up being cloud-based. Like, you're not in control of the cloud.
That's true. Yep. Okay, another thing that I see as a concern for some people with all of this is the fact that Dropcam was owned by Nest. Mm-hmm. Google buys Nest. Google promises, hey, we're not going to mess around with anything these companies are doing. And now Google says, oh, by the way, your Echo Dropcam won't work anymore because we're changing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that plays into the conspiracy theories that some people will have about what exactly is Google doing with these new services.
Right.
I think I should imagine that folks would be shocked that I might come to Google's defense here, and I'm going to sort of come to Google's defense here. It is possible that Google, that, you know, whoever's making the decision here, be it Tony Fadell or be it someone at Google like Larry Page, that they were looking at the situation. It's like, well, okay, we can keep supporting this legacy stuff, or we can go ahead and do all the things that we want to do, which may or may not be nefarious. So, you know, screw it. Let's just go ahead and replace these cameras and just move on. We don't have time to mess around with all this old stuff.
Right.
So which sounds
very Apple.
Right. And is a very good thing, you know, especially because they're giving these folks an upgrade path. Not everyone gets that opportunity.
Yeah.
So, like, this is as good as it could possibly go, Google or not, honestly. Your old stuff isn't going to work anymore, but we're going to give you the new stuff. All you have to do is fill out a form. And it's all for you. Awesome. You know, that would be fantastic in real life. Not everybody has Google behind them to finance that sort of upgrade.
So, yeah. So in this case, yay Google. And
right.
Let's hope that they don't abuse our personal information
mm-hmm.
too much.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, we're pretty much out of time. I know. It's a disappointment to you every single time, Kelly.
It is.
Yeah. But at least you know we will have more shows together.
I know.
So there is that. And thank you for being here today.
More than welcome.
And Brian, thank you so much for being here and being brave enough to come to Google's defense.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, you know, Google has to take it as they can get it, right?
It's true for me, yes.
See? So there you go. All right. Thank you to all of our listeners, and we will see everyone again tomorrow.